Welcome to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph, as she explores the ever-changing music industry with today's top creatives, artists, and executives. Enjoy these fun and informative conversations with a little bit of love thrown in along the way.
Welcome to For Love and Music with me, Tara Joseph. Now, who is today's guest? Well, you know when you meet someone who you just love collaborating with, who's super smart, knows their stuff, and always has a smile on their face. So without further ado, let's welcome to the show leading music industry and A&R executive, Lynn Lendway. Lynn, hi, how are you?
Hi, Tara.
Hi, it's so lovely to have you on For Love and Music.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course, of course. Now, the listeners can't see this, but I can see you've already got a fabulous Christmas tree behind you.
I do. We did a very fun COVID thing with my family where on Friday, we invited everybody to Zoom and decorate our trees together since we can't be together. So we had five different states, three different time zones, and we just decorated our trees and chatted and played some music. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, how nice. And you also have a little fur baby right behind you.
Yes, I'm set up in a different place because of the tree.
Right.
He usually walks in front of every single Zoom meeting that I have. So people will be talking and then all of a sudden he just decides that's enough or it's too serious and marches himself in front. And he's the comic relief for everything.
Oh, well, he's very handsome.
He is.
So tell me, you know, we've all been in lockdown for months. How has lockdown been treating you as a music industry exec? I presume your whole life has been Zoom, 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 right? That's all I'm hearing from people these days.
Yes, very much so. The interesting thing about lockdown, though, is, you know, I guess we can all be depressed about it because it's changed. It's hard to see bands and without seeing bands, sometimes you can't tell the difference between good and great. You know, you go, well, the music is good, but how do you get it out there? And that's a huge challenge. But the interesting thing about this is it's really kind of shone a light on other opportunities that maybe we had been overlooking. And I think it's interesting because it's kind of like actors where for many, many years, there were theater actors and then film and TV actors. And sometimes there were certain people whose talents bridged both of those. But oftentimes, you can be amazing at one and not quite get the nuances of the other. And I think that going forward, we're going to see that in the music industry, where we're going to see those bands who perform amazingly on stage and can turn a large venue into an intimate setting just because of the charisma and the way they perform and the energy that they bring. But oftentimes they can't make that small enough and intimate enough for a screen. And I think going forward, we're going to find certain artists who are so incredibly amazing and intimate and find the way to connect through screens. And that's going to be their main mode of performing. So it's really created an opportunity to use my imagination and when I'm talking with my colleagues and stuff, come up with different ideas for how to look for artists and what we're looking for. Because you don't necessarily, certainly faceless artists, and I don't mean that as anything, that there are artists who create music that people just want to listen to. They don't want to engage with the artist. You know, many meditation stations play these artists. They do incredibly well. They have strong followings, but people don't really want to know who they are because it takes them out of their meditation.
Yeah, I understand.
Beyond that, you want an artist who people can relate to, and they need to find some way to do that. And I think screens now are creating not just an alternate method to get us through these times, but I think it's going to carry forward after this.
Do you find there's a specific platform that you have the most success in finding talent on?
No, I don't. My friends are my platform.
Right. Okay. Good answer.
Co-workers, people I've known in the industry for years. I've been very fortunate to know some kids who have gone to the Clive Davis School, and they turned me on to great up-and-coming artists and new opportunities and just things that I wouldn't normally think of. I am friends with the Dean of Berkeley, and he turns me on to things. Like, I'll call him up sometimes and go, what's cool and what's new? And here's what I'm kind of hearing buzzing around. And inevitably, he's going to go, oh, gaming music. Well, I know these three people. He never fails to turn me on to something amazing, whether it's something that, you know, I can personally do anything with at the time. I've never been disappointed.
It's exciting to hear. And I think probably, as you were saying, that it will create a new type of artist, new opportunity for artists simply because of the times that we're living in.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, it is. I talk to people and I hear so many people being depressed and artists being depressed. And I'm like, I can understand the fear for those who haven't figured out how to cross over. And I haven't seen anybody nail it yet, but I know it's coming. I know there's going to be a point where this becomes the way artists communicate. And it's not going to be, you know, we're all a little bit tired of seeing bedroom videos at this point, but I have a feeling there's going to be some really creative, imaginative artists out there who figure out how to get their music to people in a very intimate way through our screens.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right. And we should definitely watch that space to see what's new and innovative around the corner. So tell me, now you have had an incredibly illustrious career and still do have an amazing career. And I met you originally when you were VP of A&R at Decca US, which, for those who don't know who are listening, is part of Universal Music Group. And before that, you were A&R director at Sony Masterworks. So you've really been in sort of, you know, a couple of the majors, the ground level, finding and working with big established acts and new artists as well, which must be a very exciting situation to be a part of.
It's interesting because for me, the fun is always in developing artists. The established artists are a machine. They're already rolling. They already know what they're doing right. They already have an amazing team of people working with them. They have the ability to afford the best of the best. And to me, the most exciting thing is working with the developing artists because you get to be much more creative. You can really find out where your thinking aligns with maybe what the public wants or how to create innovative ways to engage an audience. And when I speak to young artists, it's the hardest thing because they have to disconnect from themselves almost. And the example I always give, and anybody who's talked to me and listening to this is going to go, oh my God, she's got to stop saying that. But you have to look at yourself as a product. And it's kind of like being the guy who invents a new hammer. You are selling a hammer to people who already have a toolbox full of hammers. What's the thing that's going to make them want your hammer? And anything that you do, you have to kind of think of in that light, where it's like, what's the thing that's going to make this stand out? What's going to make somebody who listens to music and loves music and wants to discover music, with all of the music that's out there and everything that's being released through every different platform and every different avenue, it's impossible to listen to everything. So how are you going to connect with them? And how are you going to identify your audience and speak to that lane specifically for a while? So I laugh because I've never discovered a new artist ever. Somebody's always brought it to me. I've never, you know, their mothers discover them, their friends discover them long before I'm going to get in the picture. So I never really like to say I discovered an artist because it negates all of those people before me or whoever brought them to my attention. But working with a developing artist is sometimes the most frustrating and the most heartbreaking, but it's always the most satisfying.
So was the music industry always something that you wanted to get into? Take me back to the beginning. I mean, were you a musical child? How did you enter this crazy business?
Well, it's funny. from the time I was little, music was my through thread. We moved constantly. I've moved more than almost anybody I've ever met.
Right.
And the one constant wherever I went was music. So no matter where I lived, I could always find the same music. So music was my through thread. That was my friend group. It was the thing that made me feel connected. And when I didn't have people to talk to because I was in a new place and hadn't made friends yet, music was where I went when I felt lonely or when I was excited or when I needed to feel brave to walk into the first day of school. But I had no idea there was a music industry. If I had known that, I'd be like, that's the only thing I want to do forever. But I had no idea. So I actually came to New York to be in the fashion business.
Oh, interesting.
And while I was in college, I went to FIT. We would go out dancing because that was back when the clubs were really good every Thursday night. And I met and became very good friends with a guy whose family owned the Hit Factory, Troy Germano. We became such good friends when we were kids. And sometimes after dancing, we'd go to the studio and hang out and see who was in there. And it was the music production that really was so exciting to me. I had no idea how records were made. So I was in the fashion business for a minute and doing incredibly well. And then I saw an ad in the paper one day to MCA Records, which was one of the major labels at the time, back when there were more than three. MCA was looking for just somebody to answer the phones. And I was like, that's the business I want to be in. Now I know that there's a business. I don't know what it is. I have a lot to learn, but I want to do that. And, you know, my parents, I'm so glad they're dead right now, because if they heard this and had to relive that phone call, it would kill them now. They were very disappointed because I was leaving my fast track. So that was it. I just sort of climbed up from there. I got great advice when I was in it from a woman I worked with. She said, do everything you can do in this business, because everybody else only gets into one lane. And you will always be the smartest person in the room if you know why everybody wants the things they're asking for. And clearly, by my resume, you can see that I took her advice to heart.
I mean, it's seriously, I mean, you worked with the band Kiss?
I did.
Tour managing the band Kiss?
Well, I wasn't their tour manager. I was much too young for that, but I learned everything about touring through Kiss.
But what an incredible band to work with.
Oh, they
were
amazing.
And they're still rocking now.
Yes, they're amazing. They are phenomenal. They're incredible. Paul Stanley introduced me to my husband. We are still happily married.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a very long and wonderful relationship with them.
I love that. What's so interesting is that I find regularly when I'm talking to people is that, as you know, the podcast is called For Love and Music, and I called it that, as the listeners are probably bored with me saying, because those are the two reasons I moved to LA. But it seems like so many of the guests that come onto the show have a complete connection with love and music, you know, that their lives were brought together, sort of,
yes,
you know, interconnected. The two are interconnected.
Yeah, but I think, first of all, it's because music is completely emotional.
Yeah.
You listen to music and you picture yourself in the music. You picture whatever you're going through. Everything in music is about our own perspective. And when you're in the music industry, it's because it's all you do. So the only people you're ever going to meet are the music industry.
You're absolutely right. And staying with the theme of love right now, and I like to ask this question as well to my guests, has love ever helped you make an unexpected decision in your career? Doesn't matter if it's no.
No, I would say probably every time I've made an unexpected decision in my career, which, as you can see, it's either, it's passion. If it's not love, it's passion.
Okay.
And it's either passion for something I see that I think everybody else needs to see, or it's passion for trying something new. I mean, it's the love of something. It's, I must try this. I mean, my motto in the music industry has usually been, and worked out pretty well for me. It has just kind of been, well, I don't know how to do that yet, so I guess I better learn. It's worked out well. I've been very fortunate to, I mean, I've made some really stupid decisions in my career path. I certainly don't tell people to follow my career path because it's not as stable as most, but it's been fun and it's been interesting. And I don't regret anything I've done, but I would say every decision I've made, every time I've changed something or tried something, it's been for the love of something.
I love that answer. It's a sort of deep, meaningful answer. Someone once said to me, oh yeah, the answer is I ran off with my secretary.
I can name three people that probably was.
I know. I love your answer. Thank you for sharing that with me. Now, obviously, before you were in A&R and then you moved into management for some time.
Yeah.
How did you find the whole management experience? Because being one myself, I sort of feel that it becomes much more vocational rather than a job, really. Because it's so up and down.
That's interesting that you say that. You're going to understand this better than anyone because you're a manager. It was the most frustrating and the most rewarding job I've ever had.
Absolutely.
And it is 24/7. I mean, I literally used to just have rules that were as silly as, okay, unless you're on tour and a bus breaks down, the rules are no phone calls after 9 o'clock. Unless you are bleeding or someone's chasing you and trying to make you bleed. That was like, I just can't. If you're in the hospital, you can call me. Otherwise, work it out until morning. They didn't always listen, but I'm also not the warmest person. So,
you know, I have to say I had a call once, like sort of midnight in the UK when I was still living in London, to say that an artist I was representing had been singing on a TV show and they had chucked fake snow on the artist's head. But rather than it being little dribbles of snow, it was like a whole bucket, and this artist inhaled it, half of the bucket of snow, and ended up in ER in this sort of little backwards hospital in the middle of nowhere. If you do get all the calls, don't you?
Yeah.
Fortunately, they were fine.
That's one of those you can call. You're in the hospital. That's an acceptable
call. Yeah, you're in the hospital.
Yeah. The other ones, I'm like, if there's nothing I can do about it anyway, can you just wait to whine to me until the morning?
Yeah. Another one I remember having was, we've run out of milk. Could you order some milk so that this is at 11 o'clock at night. Could you order some milk so it arrives at 8 o'clock? It's like,
no.
Who am I?
Yeah.
Who am I?
Yeah. I don't have a lot of maternal instincts in me. So I have been fortunate enough that the people I've worked with haven't expected a certain level of care from me, because my answer often is, I don't care. And I tell people, like, before anybody's ever worked with me, I lay it out for them. I'm like, I'm just not warm and fuzzy. I'm going to help you. I want this to work. I think you're great. I get the talent, but you have to have a girlfriend or a mom or something who's going to care about things like that, because I don't.
I love how honest and blunt you are. I'm going to learn from you. I am learning from you right now. I need to say no more often.
I always like to make it clear, I'm not harsh. I mean, I'm harsh in a way, in that sometimes people don't want to hear it, but I don't do it to be mean. It's not like I'm one of those people going, I'm just going to be honest no matter what. I think that's ridiculous. I do try and take people's feelings into consideration. But if you're an artist and you're calling because you had a bad day, I promise you have a closer friend than I am. Call them.
Oh my God, this is the best. It's the best. It really is. But you and I have worked on an artist together, and you were very caring and comforting.
I'm very nice.
And incredibly nice.
Yeah.
Lovely.
I care for the artists that I work with. It's just that particular artist also had a really caring, loving family, and you as a wonderful manager. She didn't
have to come get the milk call. Yeah. You didn't get the milk call.
She wasn't asking me for dumb things.
That is true. So tell me, with the group that you were managing, you also made a successful TV show with them. So adding to your credits, you are also a successful TV producer. I mean, what can't you do? What can't you do?
That was hilarious. That sort of came up. That was one of those things where it was like, well, I don't know how to do this, but I guess I should figure it out. So it happened because the band had met this agent from William Morris, and they thought he was a concert promoter and they needed an agent. So it turned out he was not. He was in the TV area. So it was like, let's make a TV show. So my partner and I worked on, I remember we would take long walks in New York City at night just trying to figure out how to make something look like a TV show out of these guys. Because we're like, you know, they can't act. They're not actors. So how do we do this? So we created this thing that was loosely based on real life. And apparently enough so that so many people watching it actually thought it was a reality show, which was great for me because we employed like every amazing comedian in New York City at the time. And Lynn Coplitz played their manager. I feel I should shout out Lynn Coplitz and Jay Oakerson because they were, to me, the stars of the show. They were amazing. So Lynn Coplitz played their manager, and she's this beautiful, she's tall, she's beautiful. She's like supermodel pretty, and people really thought she was the manager. And I remember one night they were on tour. It was in Philadelphia, I think. And we got there and the merch guy, the guy who sold their merch, hadn't shown up. So I was sitting at the merch table waiting for him to show up. I'm like, I'll sell merch, I don't care. And these girls came up and they're talking about the band and they're all excited and they're really sort of snotty. And they look at me and they're like, oh, do you know the band? I said, yes, I do. Oh, are you part of their organization? I said, yes, I am. And they said, oh, what do you do? Well, just sell the merch. I said, I'm their manager. And they argued with me. No, you're not. We've seen their manager. And I was like, amazing. You're right. I'm selling the merch. So with that, nobody ever got to complain to me. It was a lot of fun. That was an incredibly fun time. The hours were really long. It was a great group of people. Like working with the comedians was incredible. Joan Rivers was a regular on our show, and she is
brilliant.
She is magic. She is, the loss of her is one of the saddest things we all felt. She is a spectacular human. But on top of that, the crew was so wonderful. They were just so open. None of them looked down and were like, you know, you don't know what you're doing. This is your first time. They were all so incredible. They were so professional. It was amazing the amount of work we got done and the difficult circumstances working with a band that couldn't act.
It sounds brilliant. So when you finished with that particular project, you then went back into A&R. And that's when you were at Sony.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. Okay. Excellent.
And Sony was wonderful because I always tell people, because they're like, well, you're not at Sony anymore. Well, I didn't leave because I didn't love it. I left because there was an opportunity to do something else that I wanted to try. I loved everybody at Sony. And the interesting thing about Masterworks at Sony is that it's a small enough company under the Sony umbrella that it kind of flies under the radar. And the guy who's the head of it right now, he's an amazing deal maker and he's so creative in how they do it. I feel like if Masterworks had been a bigger company, they wouldn't be able to do a lot of the things they've been able to do. And the teams there were, you know, you really got, everybody was in everybody else's business. There were departments, but it was a lot of fun. It was a team. I had been very hesitant to get back into the major label business because times had changed. I really enjoyed working with developing artists. Trying to develop an artist through a major label system has its challenges and is a different animal than I had been used to. So getting back in that way was a really good opportunity for me. It was a nice way to go.
So obviously, we're nearly into 2021, thank God. What can we hope to see and hear from Lynn Lendway in 21 and moving forward, COVID aside?
Oh, won't that be nice?
Let's say we're all vaccinated.
That'll be
and
nice.
And we're all healthy. and traveling around.
I was going to say, hopefully I'll be back on an airplane and out to see you again soon.
I hope so. I really do.
I've missed that so much.
Yeah, that would be great.
It's funny because the thing that I hated the most prior to this was the constant travel. I feel like I was on an airplane more than I was anywhere else. And now it's the thing that I miss. I'm like, oh God, if I could just get on an airplane and go someplace and visit friends.
Well, make sure you come to LA quite quickly, won't you?
I will. Okay. I will. It was very funny. Right before we got on, I was on with somebody else who I am madly in love with, who's in LA. And we were talking about it. And both of us were like, as soon as this lifts, we're getting on planes. And I was like, we're both going like, I'm coming out to see you. Well, I'm coming out to see you. And I was like, we better really match that up. Because
yeah, I think so.
Go visit.
I think so. I think so.
Yeah. It's interesting. I'm really hoping that there are some really interesting holes and opportunities in the industry right now that I'm really hoping to be able to find a way to flesh out.
And I really hope that you and I get to collaborate on another project or artist together at some point.
I hope so. It's kind of like, as you said, it's like when you meet somebody and you know they're meant to be in your life.
Yeah.
Sadly, you are that person now. So you're stuck with me.
Well, I feel very honored.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if you say that once flying starts again. There's a knock on your door.
Oh, well, we've got a couple of spare bedrooms. So anytime. And cool. The cats.
And the cats.
Yeah. And of course, Bobby.
Yes, he'll come too.
Okay,
Except we'll never see him. He'll be out with his musician friends doing his musician thing.
Well, maybe he can serenade us all in the evenings.
No, that's the thing I always stop. Like, stop. During COVID, he's started learning how to play the piano. So it's like there's bass and guitar that he's already mastered. So now he's learning how to play the piano. And after a while, I'm just like, there aren't enough doors to close between us in an apartment.
Oh my goodness. Well, I do look forward to meeting him at some point. And seriously, thank you so much for coming onto the show. It's been such a pleasure to chat to you and basically have a catch up.
I know. Thank you so much for inviting me. It is very funny. I sort of forgot that we're recording. So if there's anything you need to go back and take out, go ahead and do that.
No, you were wonderful. You were wonderful. You really were. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I love you. I'll speak to you soon.
Definitely. And thank you to all of our For Love and Music listeners. You will be hearing from me again very, very soon. Bye for now.
Thank you for listening to For Love and Music with Tara Joseph. For more information, you can check out at For Love and Music Official on Instagram, at For Love and Music Official on Facebook, and also visit www.jamartistgroup.com/podcast.